Happy New Year to all our listeners and viewers. Vimana are mythological flying palaces or chariots described in Hindu text and Sanskrit epics, used by deities to travel great distances quickly and coming in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. Could these accounts be some of the earliest and most detailed descriptions of what we now call UFOs? Join myself and Neil here on Aliens Explored as we peer into the mists of time and try to decipher whether these otherworldly craft were real.
Aliens Explored is a weekly podcast exploring famous and obscure cases of UFO sightings, alien abductions, and other strange events from both a believing and a skeptical perspective, whilst keeping an open mind. I'm Stu Jackson, a professional actor and amateur ufologist with a particular interest in the crop circle phenomenon. I'll be debating that otherworldly visitations are real. The truth is out there.
And I'm Neil Kelly. I'm a professional actor as well and used to work for the military as an intelligence analyst. I'll be arguing from a more doubtful point of view. I mean, it's all a bit far-fetched, isn't it? Hello, listeners, and a happy new year to you. Welcome to 2024 with your favourite podcast for looking at the mysterious skies under the ocean, smoke-filled back rooms, and occasionally deep into the recesses of ancient history or mythology, which is where we're going today. My name is Neil Kelly.
And I'm Stu Jackson. Happy New Year, Neil.
Happy New Year. Hope it's a good one.
Yes. Well, we're predicting the future a little bit because we're still stuck in October, but
Yeah, we might not even be here by the time this goes out.
That's it. Stay positive.
This is dedicated to the memory of Neil Kelly, who showed very poor judgment that one time. He should have known better.
So, any New Year's resolutions? Trying to turn that very swiftly onto a more positive note.
Blimey, I haven't even thought of it. I mean, have you?
Probably not. I'm not a big one for New Year's resolutions. I think, you know, if it's worth making a change in your life, then why wait till tomorrow? Why wait till an arbitrary ticking over of the odometer?
I suppose it derives from, you know, people acting like gluttons over the holiday period, drinking too much, eating too much, all the things, smoking a lot, and then saying, oh, as soon as the new year, as soon as the clock ticks round, that's it, I'm going on my diet, or I'm going to stop smoking, or, yeah, it's hard to keep those resolutions, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose there's that, and also it's kind of a human thing to want to, I don't know, to celebrate like anniversaries of things. I don't know, it's like people talk about, oh, it's a new year, it's a fresh start. I mean, why? Yeah. Every day is a fresh start, every minute, like, of every hour.
I mean, we explain to small children that just because it's their birthday, they're only a day older than they were, they're not a year older, but sometimes we forget that ourselves, that the way time passes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what you year, do with your kids. Like, it might be your birthday, but you're only a day older, so you're not getting any presents. Yeah. Is that the kind of father you were?
Yeah, and I say, well, my accountant will tell me that the new year starts on the 6th of April. Right, so I can celebrate New Year's Eve on the 5th of April. You know, that's the year my accountant cares about.
For our overseas viewers, that's because the financial year in the UK runs from the 6th of April to the 5th.
Isn't it an international thing? weren't.
Don't think
other
so.
Institutions.
I think different countries have their own
okay.
thing. It might marry up with others. I'm not sure, to be honest. But yes, we're not talking about current dates. We're here to talk about past dates in the mists of time.
Well, in the mists of what you might dismiss as mythology, which people would call religion.
Well, yes, although, you know, there is some stuff to it. So we're talking about Vimanas, which are mentioned in Hindu texts and Sanskrit epics. It is, in fact, a Sanskrit word.
Vimana.
And what Vimanas are, the way they are described and the way they are contextualized, they're basically flying vessels for deities.
Well, it has lots of meanings, doesn't it? I mean, the Sanskrit word, looking here, etymology, literally means measuring out, traversing, having been measured out. Monier Williams describes it as a car or chariot of the gods, as you say, any self-moving aerial car, sometimes serving as a seat or throne, sometimes self-moving and carrying its occupant through the air. Other descriptions make it more like a house or a palace. One kind said to be seven stories high. It may denote any car or vehicle, especially a bier or a ship, as well as a palace of an emperor, especially one with seven stories. Is that because seven's a lucky number? Is it?
I think, yeah, seven's of particular significance. But no, that's you've hit on an absolute point. Vimanas are mentioned a lot, particularly in the Hindu text. And there are lots of different types of Vimanas. You know, there's not just one type and one size. They come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. But the one thing they do all have in common is that they are the transport of the gods, basically, of the deities. Now, we've talked a little bit in the past on this show about the possibility of aliens in the past visiting the planet and being perceived as gods. So I suppose the whole Vimana thing is kind of an extension of that, in a way.
It seems to be the same kind of thing, doesn't it? That, you know, I mean, Vimana now in Indian languages is the word for an aircraft, so that it's obviously stuck. But things like, you know, the flying in on flaming shields and sort of thing from Christian mythology, religion, I should say, religion, not mythology.
Well,
mythology is mythology, what you call a religion that's no longer practiced. And so Roman religions are now, or Norse or ancient Egyptian, they're now, what were their religions are now mythologies.
Yes. there isn't really a difference. Go on.
No, so we're talking about the same kind of thing where things that we would now recognise as meteor showers or eclipses or whatever, that they were given some magical meaning by these people who had no knowledge of the universe.
That's a good question, because when you look at things in, well, for example, in the Christian religion, you've got the whole, you know, as we're just after Christmas, the whole thing about the nativity and, you know, following the North Star. You know, some people have speculated that if that happened, that might have been a UFO or UAP of some description, or it might also have been a comet, and it's, you know, all you're seeing is a star moving through the sky.
Have there ever been times when, say, an emperor wants to go and visit a certain area and you know, maybe where there's been some trouble, or they sending his ambassador, someone from the palace. And it just happens that there's a shooting star in the sky just before he arrives. So they see this star go shooting over, and then he turns up 5 minutes later and says, yes, that was me. That's how I got here, and that's how I'll be leaving.
Quite possibly, although I suspect where these things happen is you get two different stories that are then conflated later on. That would be my... I think that's more common. But no, comparing the descriptions of things that could be perceived to be UFOs or UAPs in the Christian religion, like you say, you know, coming in on fiery shields or burning shields, things like that. With Vimanas, you've got much more accurate and in many cases really quite specific descriptions coming through. What, they're not vague allegories. They're talked about, and in the same way that the Bible talks about things as, you know, they use language that is factual, historical record. That's the way things are talked about. It's the same with these Hindu texts.
Well, I don't think the Bible does talk about things like that. I mean,
it does.
I don't think there's a single date mentioned in the Bible.
No, but it talks about events happening that are, you know, almost like a historical record.
Yeah, but I would have thought the first requirement of a historical record would be that at least give us a date.
Just to be clear, I'm not saying it is a historical record. I'm saying the style of writing. It's not saying it's work of fiction. It's saying it right. And, you know, Noah went forth with his wife and they had so many sons, and, you know, it's
they're writing it as if it was true.
Historical record.
They're writing it.
Some people will say it is true. Some people question that. That's not what we're here to do. But what I'm saying is the Hindu texts are recorded in a similar fashion. They're recorded as if they are true.
Yes. I'll go along with that.
With Vimanas, they have very specific descriptions. They talk about... So, the different types of Vimanas, for a start. They talk about some that are saucer-shaped. They talk about some that are, you know, cylindrical, like cigar-shaped, we would say today. I mean, they wouldn't have said saucers in that time, you know, but the way the descriptor I'm using, modern language. They talk about some that are spherical in nature. Now, those sound like modern-day UFOs. Saucers, you know, we talk about cigar-shaped UFOs, we talk about orbs. Flying saucers.
You know that effect you get with a heat haze, which you probably get an awful lot of in India, especially these days, where a distant building can seem to be floating in the air?
Yes, it's just over the horizon. It gets bisected, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that account for... And there's an illustration here on the Wikipedia page of the Pushpaka Vimana flying in the sky, and it looks like a 7-story building hovering in the sky, but that looks very much like what I would think. It's, yeah, you've got that heat haze effect.
Well, the Pushpaka Vimana is probably one of the most famous, and it was said to be the size of a city. So that's a bit bigger than a building that would have been bisected. But I can see where you're coming from with it. But it doesn't explain the different shapes that you get with Vimanas. They also talk about, very specifically, that these things were made of an alloy of gold and iron.
Is there such a thing?
I mean, you can alloy the two things. Yeah, sure. You mix them together, melt them together and mix them together. Sure.
Okay.
You can do that with any metals, I presume. I'm not a metallurgist, but yeah.
You can mix any metal to make an alloy.
If you can melt two things, you can mix them together. Why not?
Yeah, I suppose the question is what happens when it cools, whether it's something useful or whether it's...
Well, absolutely, but we do know that gold is particularly useful in electronics for its conductivity.
Hmm.
Now, might also be said it's useful, therefore, for heat dissipation as well.
Do those two go together? Conductivity and heat dissipation?
They can do, yeah. Yeah. The problem with the heat dissipation side with gold, of course, is that it's got a low melting point compared to a lot of other metals.
Yeah.
So it's less about heat dissipation in for us, but certainly electrical conductivity is one of the most conductive metals. The only reason we use copper in our wiring is because it's a lot cheaper. Yeah. Gold's far better for conductivity.
Yeah, so you just can't have miles and miles and miles of gold wire.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose that holds. Yeah, I mean, a bit of wood won't conduct electricity. And you can also hold it in a fire for any length of time without the heat transferring yeah. up it. Unlike, say, an iron bar.
Yeah, you don't want to be holding on to the end of that. Holding it in a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about how the Vimanas in these Hindu texts, how they used mercury as well in their construction. Oh, they would have called it quicksilver, of course. Mm. Now, that wouldn't have been a very common metal.
No.
Back then. So that's an unusual one for them to specifically cite.
Where does mercury come from? Where is it found?
It's a natural
metal. Yeah, but you would just find a puddle of mercury somewhere in a...
It's probably mined.
Yeah.
I would have thought. I honestly don't know.
Whether it's mined or whether it's found or...
Yeah,
to be separated out from something or...
Presumably. But you would dig. I would have thought. There'll be pockets of it, I imagine. I don't know.
It was used
maybe
as a treatment
one
for...
one of our listeners or viewers know.
Was used as a treatment for syphilis, wasn't it? That,
was
they'd
it?
Say, they'd warn you against going with women of a negotiable affection. they used to say, one night with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury.
Right, okay. No, I've not heard that one before. Okay.
Obviously, you've never needed to, but...
they also talk about how these Vimanas they altered gravity in order to fly.
Would they have understood gravity back then? I thought that was an Isaac Newton 18th century thing. Or was it 17th century?
I mean, they didn't invent it.
No, but the idea of gravity, of a force.
Well, they wouldn't have specifically said gravity. I mean, this obviously not in English for a start. But the concept that, you know, if you drop something, it falls is that's not a new concept. So we now refer to that as gravity because that's the name for it. But, that as a concept is not new at all. They would have known that.
They would have known if you definitely drop something on a hard floor, it'll break, yeah.
Yeah, well, drop something, it falls. Yeah,
And that they would have also believed that any kind of flight, for human flight, was impossible, probably. Probably balloons hadn't occurred to them then.
Right.
And they would have believed, you know, like Europeans, until the Montgolfier brothers first went up in a balloon, it was feared that they would be disturbing God in his heaven.
Yeah.
If they went too high. And then when they did go up high and said, nope, nothing up here but sky, they had to kind of change their ideas about where heaven is. But I can imagine, you know, at the time these texts were written, people thought, yeah, God's up in the sky somewhere looking down at you, because that's the best place to look at you from, isn't it? Best place to see, watch what you're doing.
Well, they did talk about Interesting you raise that, because they did talk about Vimanas going into space.
But would they have known what space was?
Oh, yes. Yes, they had astronomers back then. They knew about different...
When are we talking?
Different planets. Oh, a few thousand years ago.
Because in the Christian Bible, the one we currently use, which is about 400 years old, there's mention made of the day of judgment when all the stars in the sky will fall to earth. Mm. Clearly having no concept of what stars are or how big they are or how impossibly far away they are.
So in terms of scientific endeavour, the Christian culture is... I really hope I'm not going to offend any viewers or listeners with this, but scientifically speaking, quite backward. So we talk about famous astronomers like working out that the Earth orbits the Sun. That wasn't new knowledge. That was lost knowledge. That was the concept of the Sun orbiting the Earth and the Earth being the centre of the universe. That was introduced by Christianity. That was, prior to that, we knew that the Earth orbited the Sun and, the other planets all orbited the Sun and that, the Sun itself moved in the heavens.
And they knew how big the Earth was and they knew it was round.
It was about 4,000 years ago, what was his name with the angles? Greek.
Pythagoras?
Chap. Pythagoras, thank you. Didn't he calculate how big the Earth was based on sticking a stick into a hole?
I think it was something like that. I know they worked out that if you stand on something, looking out across something with no obstacles, like out to sea, a person of average height can see for about the horizon is about 5 kilometres away, 3.5 miles, say. If you stand on something that's 5 meters high, i.e. 15 or 16 feet high, you can see twice as far. You extend your horizon because you can see over the curve a bit more. And from that calculation, you can work out what the curve of the Earth is and therefore how big the Earth is. They knew that thousands of years ago. That's why ships had crow's nests. That's why they put their sentries in watchtowers, because they knew they can see... not just over obstacles, but they can just see further gently. And that's why when you see a ship in the distance coming over the horizon, it appears to be arising out of the sea if you're looking at it through a telescope, because it's coming over the curve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like something coming over a hill, the brow of a hill.
Which it is, in a sense.
Yeah.
Something
beyond that horizon, that would appear to be floating, wouldn't it, if you... the only part of a ship that you can see above the beyond the horizon, that wouldn't that appear to be floating in the air?
No, because it'd be either below the horizon or, as you say, just rising up from the horizon. It might look like it's coming out of the sea. That's an interesting point as well with Vimanas that's described, is they were transmedium vehicles.
That they would arrive out of the sea.
On the horizon. In the sea or in the air or in space. But they didn't travel between the stars. That was a thing. They would go up into space where they would... Now, I'm going to use modern language to describe this, but they would effectively... They would... connect or dock with what we would now call a mothership, a larger palace craft, whatever you would call it. That would be the thing that travelled between the stars, the smaller Vimana. I suppose to us they'd be like shuttlecraft.
Not interstellar.
No.
I mean, I read... I don't know why the subject came up, but I was looking at our nearest neighbouring solar system is Proxima Centauri, which is 4.5 light years away, which is, I think it's 5.88 trillion miles. Well, the fastest moving object we've ever put into space was Voyager 1, which is travelling at about 38,000 miles an hour. At that speed, it will take 20,000 years to reach Proxima Centauri, our nearest neighbouring star.
Yes.
So I can't imagine that ancient people had any concept of the kinds of distances they were looking. That they were looking millions of years back in time when they see stars.
No, they... and obviously we know now that light travels at a finite speed, so we can make those sorts of calculations. But no, it wouldn't have so much been that. They did talk about these larger craft travelling between stars.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Or appearing to from their viewpoint on the ground and being able to see thousands of stars all at once in a clear sky.
Well, what I get is in every way it seems they're talking about UFO, what we would talk about UAPs today, or UFOs or flying saucers. So many parallels.
The problem I have with ancient texts is because you're relying on the testimony of one anonymous writer.
Well, here you've got with no lots evidence. Of different writers.
All right, lots of different anonymous writers, but they're all making their claims about what was seen on that day hundreds of years ago. They're just,
thousands.
Yeah, but in terms of the Bible, the people writing it were... transcribing these events hundreds of years after they were supposed to have happened. So it's, I mean, that's why there is an area of studies that people set out to prove that things in the Bible actually happened or didn't happen for their own reasons.
People have done that with the Manas. They've taken the descriptions and created drawings. This is in more recent times. They've created drawings that definitely lend themselves towards, you know, them being spacecraft of some description. But I think to be fair, there's a lot of artistic license being taken with the whilst the descriptions are accurate, they're not as specific as what's been taken.
The descriptions are precise. In terms of themselves, self-referencing. I mean, that picture of the push pack of Vimana flying in the sky, it reminds me of cartoons, you know, when someone's died and gone to heaven and they're on a cloud and there's some gates on the cloud with St. Peter stood behind a rostrum with his book, you know, who's on the list, with his wings on his back and his harp. It's that kind of... idea that you're up in the sky.
But there we go. And of course, if we want to see any Vimanas, all we have to do is look at the top of any Indian temples, isn't it?
Yeah. They have the image of the temple floating in the sky.
Well, they are put, like, the top of Indian temples is called Vimana, and it is designed to look like a Vimana. Obviously, it's not an actual flying vessel, but that's what they look like. So have a look at the top of Indian temples when you're...
I remember when I was very young, and there was a protest against the Vietnam War in Washington, and thousands of protesters turned up and they were going to surround the Pentagon, and then with their collective thought they were going to levitate it. They didn't succeed, and I'm not sure how seriously it was taken as a threat that they might succeed, but it was all part of the sort of the New Age belief systems that were coming in. You know, we can sit there and meditate and we'll levitate the Pentagon. I don't know to what end, whether to just give them a bit of a scare.
To prove the power.
This reminds me of that, it's this idea of society. buildings levitating.
Mm. Okay, well, we've reached that point in the episode when we sort of summarise our thoughts. So, yeah, what do you think then, Vimanas? Could it be potentially a record of extraterrestrials or otherworldly beings coming in their craft?
No, I think the word is used to mean too many different things. It's confusing, and I tend not to pay too much attention to religious texts because they have their own agenda for making you want to believe that something happened.
Yeah, I mean, I can see so many parallels with modern day UFOs or UAPs that I just can't help but think there is something in it. And of course they would apply a religious context to it because, you know, God's one day, fairies another day, and extraterrestrials today, you know.
I can also see if people have seen something which they're unable to explain, something a bit frightening in the sky, it will be in the local emperor's interest to say, yes, that was me. So watch your step. Don't mess with me.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think, listeners and viewers? Are Vimana's accurate representations of otherworldly craft as I believe, or optical illusions and hyperbole?
And mythology.
Or is it a combination of the two, somewhere in between perhaps? Do let us know what you think via the usual means. It's the same every time, and links are below for our email address, which is aliensexplored@gmail.com, for our Facebook and Twitter, and our YouTube as well. And of course, our Patreon. So if you subscribe to that, you get exclusive access to the Discord server. Join us next time. Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to next. Well, I'm always looking forward to these recordings. But we're definitely in my wheelhouse next week because we'll be doing a roundup of the crop circles of 2023. So look forward to that one. In the meantime, keep reading these old religious texts and their descriptions of craft, because you never know, you might be looking into something a bit weird and wonderful. And of course, keep watching the skies. Take care for now.
Catch you next time. Bye-bye. Aliens Explored is a Fecal Films production in association with Juicy Falls. Music by Darren Mafucci and editing by Stu Jackson. Find us on Twitter or Facebook by searching Aliens Explored, or visit us on aliensexplored.com.